It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay.
You doing okay?
What a great Super Bowl, but yeah.
Hey, by the way, Carl Sack on the NBA later. Matt Grissom on college baseball. A little college baseball preview with Betts coming up at Jason Weingarten studio. Let us discuss Super Bowl 59 out the gates. And let me just say congratulations to Philadelphia Eagles fans, anybody who had the Eagles in the game yesterday. Eagles, a comprehensive 40-22 win over the Chiefs in a final score that does not indicate the shellacking that it was. Sort of reminds me of 80s and early 90s blowouts that for those of us of a certain age, we became so used to, whether it was, you know, the Bears over the Patriots, whether it was the Niners over the Broncos, the Skins over the Broncos or the Bills, the Cowboys beating the Bills, whatever it is, whatever it was, take your pick. This one sort of reminded me of the Washington Buffalo one, where the score, the final score ends up more cosmetic than it actually was. That one was a 24-0 start and then ended up 37-24. This Eagles Super Bowl feels so much more built to last than the last one. The Nick Foles Philly special one, where I've said through the years, I said where the Eagles won their Super Bowl using replay rules from the future. Well, let me just start by saying T for 3 on Twitter. I will now say this was not a Super Bowl that they won using replay rules from the future. I owe that to Eagles fans. Also, Brian Grayson, Joe Pita, all the Eagles fans that I know in my life. Mazel tov to you. This was just, if you could have given the MVP to Vic Fangio, you probably would have. It's also a reflection of how difficult it is to win an MVP for any individual player on defense when you have such a blowout like this, but not one single guy sticks out. Josh Sweat for a moment there had 1.5 sacks early, and you're like, hey, maybe Josh Sweat. But you just it was such a big blowout, and it was so spread out that was never going to happen. And so Jalen Hurts deserves that MVP. He would have won it 2 years ago had the Eagles won.
I'm glad you brought this up earlier. It's probably the betting story of the game, I guess, or one of the betting stories, the MVP. I thought it still should have gone to one of the defensive guys. Give it to Sweat or Cooper DeJean. I don't care. It's reflective of how good the entire defense was the entire night. I know that there's multiple guys, and that's the problem.
I think it would have been weird if you gave it to one, though.
But like, so I told the guys this in the back. I'm like, I don't think the answer of us wanting to reward the defense, but there's too many good options, is to give it to the quarterback.
Yeah, but Hurts was great.
He was great. It's also like Jake Elliott was great on field goals that he had absolutely no pressure to make because they were up huge.
Did you just compare Jake Elliott to Jalen Hurts? Is that what you just did?
The game was over before it began.
Let me just say, we always go through these games, and we will here, but let me just say this. Usually when I come in with guessing lines on any given week or during the playoffs, you know, some games that are really good, I have this long list of notes. This is one of the shorter capsules of the season, because the second half just becomes ridiculous. But let me just say this. What a story for the Eagles, too, because before the season started, remember, and I'll raise my hand because I was one of the people saying this, Tony Sirianni, remember the comment that some of us made was...
Nick.
Hey, Nick, why do I keep calling him that?
I don't know.
Nick Sirianni. Thank you. Nick Sirianni, that's why you're here, Kelly. Appreciate that. Nick Sirianni was, remember, he was the guy where, like, first coach fired. Yeah, remember this came up? Yeah. First coach fired because why? Because now he had Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator and Vic Fangio as his defensive coordinator. So he would be the one most sort of susceptible to an early season firing if things went sideways. 2-2 was kind of sideways. They won 16 of their last 17. So shout out to Nick Sirianni for that. And then there's Jalen Hurts. Let us not let time forget, right? Jalen Hurts, who, I don't want to use the word shunned, but at least was replaced, right, by Tua in the national championship game against Georgia, Tua Tagovailoa, at the moment of reckoning for Alabama in that championship game, and Tua famously comes in and wins it for him. Then he goes to Oklahoma, handles the whole thing like a gentleman. By the way, at a young age, Jalen Hurts does. And if you remember at the time at Oklahoma, there was some sentiment of, wow, he's playing really well. Like, it was almost like a shock to some people that he played really well at Oklahoma. Then he gets drafted in the second round. And do you remember what we said about Jalen Hurts when he got drafted in the second round? Because remember, it was Jalen Reagor in the first round and then Jalen Hurts early in the second. And they were both overdrafted, we said, right? And in one case, we were correct. But Jalen Hurts, early second round, oh, they're overdrafting him. He should never have been picked this early.
I mean, we definitely had no idea what kind of passer he would be in the NFL.
I'm just saying, like, with this team, they have overcome a lot of conventional, not overcome, but they have bucked a lot of conventional wisdom. And again, I can only say congratulations because we haven't even mentioned the word Chiefs yet, because this was just one of the great blowouts in modern history, yeah. really since the Carolina-Denver game, I guess.
It was, I mean, just from the Eagles side first, right? It just extremely, extremely impressive for a team that, I think we go back to earlier in the season. I felt like I was higher on than a lot, with especially when they went through the early season struggles, but then also when it got to later in the season, was lower on than a lot of people, where I think there did become some Eagles excitement of how good this team could be. I wasn't fully sold on it. I wasn't fully sold on it. And oh boy, last night with everything defensively, offensively, it was a overwhelming statement.
It starts after a touchback. Well, first of all, the national anthem well under for us. Easy peasy by 5 seconds. Coin toss, tails, Casey wins. They defer. And after a touchback, a lot of props settling in those few sentences. Saquon starts with 4 yards. Remember, 3.5 was his line for the first rush. Starts with 4 yards. The Eagles end up 4th and 2 at midfield. They go to shotgun. Hurts to Brown deep, but an offensive pass interference called on A.J. Brown when his hand hits Trent McDuffie in the face. And a lot of people who are on the Eagles side are like, oh, here we go.
Yeah,
here we go. But his hand did hit his face. So you have to say that. Brady didn't like that one. They punt. KC punts. Philly gets it back 3rd and 5 at the KC 42. Hurts airmails Goddard on 3rd and 5. They call a horrible ticky-tack, unnecessary roughness on McDuffie. Two plays later to Dotson for 28. A lot of people had Dotson first touchdown, including our own Isaiah Von Wrinkle, at as long as like 70-1, or some people even had it longer.
That was brutal.
Down at the 1. Hurts in on the Tuchus push from the 1. 7-0 Eagles. 6:15 left in the first quarter. KC 3 and out. KC can't do anything with the football. Philadelphia 3rd and 10 at the KC 30. Hurts then picked by Brian Cook. And if you're a Kansas City backer in this moment, you're like, wait a minute. How are we only down 7? Is this going to happen again? The answer is no. KC from their own 2. By the way, at total yards at this point in a 7-0 game was 119-19 in favor of the Eagles. Another 3 and out. Philly comes down. Elliott 48-yard field goals, 10-0. 10-0 Eagles with 8:38 left in the second quarter. Now, remember, this propped up the stat. This popped up the stat. Chiefs have trailed all 5 Super Bowls now in the Mahomes era by 10 points.
Yeah.
In other words, they had them right where they wanted them because they won 3 of the previous 4. Then KC gets the ball back. And this is when it kind of went from we have a game, perhaps, because even then it was perhaps, because KC still couldn't do anything with the ball.
They couldn't do anything, yeah. But I'm with you.
To, oh, this could be done quickly. Yeah. Cooper DeJean picks. It was sack. Mahomes picked by Cooper DeJean. 38 yards to the house. 17-0 Eagles with 7:03 left in the second quarter. KC another 3 and out. Then Philadelphia, 2nd and 26 at their own 29. Hurts incomplete intended for Saquon. They call a really ticky-tack unnecessary roughness call on Bolton. And you're like, wow, all of the Chiefs officiating luck is coming home to roost. But by the way, Philly still had to punt. But remember in the moment, like the officials might have been a story. Well, it never was after that. I mean, there was nothing about this game.
If the game was close, though, it sure felt like they were going to be a story the whole night.
Because it extended 2 Philly drives, but they didn't do anything with the second one. So it muted it a little bit.
The Bolton was the personal foul late hit one, though.
The one where he hit Saquon's back. Yeah.
Like that one was late.
It was. Yeah, was it? Well, there should have been a flag on that.
I don't know that we often see that called because it's a running back in that situation, but I thought it was pretty clearly.
All right. Anyway, it didn't matter. They had to punt.
It did not matter.
Okay, so it's 17-0. Now, if you still had hope as a Chiefs fan, right?
Let's say
the Cooper DeJean pick didn't toggle you to, oh my God, this game is over. Then you could tell yourself, okay, there's a double dip opportunity here.
Right, yeah.
There's a double dip opportunity, and who does it better than Patrick Mahomes? Except the other, the next thought after the comma ought to have been, yeah, but they can't even, like, gain any. They can't get a first down. They can't do anything with it. And sure enough, the first play, Mahomes picked by Zach Bond, set up at the KC 14. Second play, Hurts to Brown from 12 out, 24 to nothing. The Philadelphia Eagles with 1:35 left in the second quarter, 177-14 is the tally in total yards right now. 13 first downs to one. And then, by the way, the last thing that happened in the first half, Casey had to punt after a terrible D-hop drop.
Oh, my gosh. He should still be running.
DeAndre Hopkins just straight up drops, and you're like, this is a Jackie Smith kind of moment.
But how did he age 40 years in one route?
Yeah.
In one route? Like what happened?
So that's the score at the half, 24 to nothing, 179 to 23 in total yards, 13 to 1 in first downs, 1959 to 1001. The game, for all intents and purposes, was over. Well, I mean, we'll touch on the second half afterwards, but the second half was more about bettors and props and how you'd win something one play and lose something the next play.
Yeah, I got some fun ones to talk about.
I have some fun ones, too, coming up here. Because,
by the way, I said this before the show. Zach Bond, greatest linebacker ever I'd never heard of a year before.
What a season.
What a season.
What a season. Again, Eagles fans, you deserve it, man. Congratulations. 16 out of 17 with a... never using replay rules from the future this time. This team built to last. And of course, we'll get into how does this make you feel about the year gone by? How does it make you feel about futures odds? That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
In sports betting and trading, probability is the key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horwitz, a former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit bubbatrading.com/vsin and get a free ebook on options trading and use code VSIN500 to save $500 on any purchase. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at beating the book. Good morning from Keno Walker. He says, what are your guys' thoughts on women's varsity flag football? You don't like the college baseball? Really? This is from Grant Betting X Factors. Had Dotson first touchdown, then isolated Hopkins last touchdown and went big on it. Double gut punch. Pain. Oh. Doug Knudsen Sports at Dougie Fresh 11. I had Eagles to win by 31 plus at 100-1. Ouch. Eagles win 26-30, 60-1. Ouch. Eagles win all four quarters 15-1. Ouch. Oh, man. Colin Murphy, you are not on an island, Kelly Bidlin, on this take. The primary reason the Eagles were so dominant is because the front seven got after Mahomes on seemingly every snap. I think everybody agrees with that. Hurts was good, but Josh Sweat was up in Mahomes' business multiple times. He's your MVP. He was great. I was the first person to mention him on our group chat. He shouldn't have won MVP. You can't put his performance over the other guys on defense, was my only point. Ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed to have this guy in studio with us for the second time in 2 days, because Kelly and I did a special hour of a numbers game yesterday on Super Bowl Sunday. You know him from being under a cloud of smoke. He remains under a cloud of smoke. At Spreadopedia on Twitter, but in the flesh, it's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, man?
Good. It's baseball season. Good Super Bowl yesterday, and on to baseball.
Were you a winner?
Barely. I would say probably a couple $100 when all was said and done.
Let's lean into that mic once again.
Nothing particularly exciting, although I can say the Chiefs fourth quarter bet.
Chiefs fourth quarter bet never in doubt.
And the unders, you know, Saquon Barkley under, Travis Kelce under, all that stuff ended up being good. The pass, the 2.5, over 2.5 guys throwing a pass.
That was awesome.
That worked out.
Yeah.
All the Chiefs tied bets did not work out. DeAndre Hopkins, he ended up catching a touchdown pass, was not a factor in the game.
Did you have him for two touchdowns or one touchdown?
I had one and two. One I would have made way more money on the two, but at least, you know, it's like you got the savers kind of.
Yes, you do.
Saved the day. But yeah, not the best Super Bowl ever. It was enjoyable to watch, but was not the best betting day I've ever had.
Let me, by the way, I want to harken back to this cause I teased this. Matt Grissom was just on, he was just talking college baseball. This reminds me, Captain Jack has an annual tradition where he does a Super Bowl stream the night before, really not just the night, but like afternoon into evening into night. And he's kind enough to have me on every year, and I have technical problems every time. That's kind of my thing. Did you miss your slot? Did you bail on it?
I missed my slot. Well, I was actually there early.
Oh, okay.
And then I stepped on my glasses getting ready to go to the airport. So these are actually my backup glasses. I did the whole Twilight Zone thing. It was finally, I'm going to get to go and watch Super Bowl and then crunch.
Oh, so one of the great things that was sort of said on in the entire Super Bowl stream, Roxy, the great Roxy Roxborough was on it. Matt Grissom doing college baseball just reminded me of this. Roxy has a great Super Bowl Sunday betting hack, which is that on Super Bowl Sunday, he says, I go bet my Major League Baseball season win totals plays. The thinking being that he can bet much more on them on Super Bowl Sunday than he can any other time, because Super Bowl Sunday betting is so frantic for the big game that there is not a supervisor in the world that will stop traffic, will stop the line flow and say, oh, you're over the limit on what we're allowing on these bets. So whatever amount he puts on them, they just take it and move on. I thought that's a great strategy.
It's probably a pretty effective strategy. Like, could have gone down yesterday at Circa and asked for whatever. I thought about doing it mostly just to be annoying and get in line and saying, hey, what do you got on the Dodger? You know, what do you got on the Pirates?
I did it with the day before, not Super Bowl Sunday, but Saturday evening when it was somewhat crowded. I did it with Tennis Futures at Doha. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, hey, wow, they're taking any amount of money here. This is pretty interesting. And they must be like, what did you want to bet?
Mostly for me, it's about tying up cash in early February when I know I'm going to end up betting a ton more futures. It's not that I don't want to do it. It's also I'd rather do it on credit. But
yes, well, there's that for
sure. There's that too.
Remind the folks what your season win totals bets that you already have in baseball are.
So I brought the sheet so I can give you the best numbers, everything I could see, everything I could tell you. Got the Padres under 85. I think they're not going to be a good team this year. I got Dodgers under 104. I actually have them at 103. I don't think the Dodgers have an incentive to win over 104 games. I just don't think that the front office, the way they go into the season, they don't care if they win 110 games, 105 games, 100, whatever. Like, the goal is to win the World Series, not to
Goal is to win the division, have the best record.
Yeah, speaking of winning the division, I don't know if you've ever seen a number like this, but I saw at Circa, Dodgers are minus 700 to win the division. Have you ever seen a number that high preseason?
Wow. Minus, I don't think I do.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah.
Angels.
If someone does win that division, you're not high on the Padres this year, so
no.
I get it. You know,
absolutely not. I think Dodgers are just going into training camp, especially or spring training, especially if they end up trading for Nolan Arenado. I think on paper, this is the best assemblage of talent.
Oh, God.
I don't even know how many years.
Really trading for Arenado?
They're trying to get him basically be one of their you know, utility slash bench players.
Why not get Bonds out of retirement and just you know, do
why
that?
Not? Let's do it. I'm all for it.
That's a batting cleanup, Barry Lamar, Bonds.
But
that's how ridiculous this is getting.
I think this is one of the best assemblages of talent that I can recall. I don't know, since the 90s Yankees.
Since the 90s Yankees, that's what
probably even
like.
Before that, honestly.
Yeah.
Padres under, Angels under 71.5. I don't like.
Oh, wait,
the
did
Angels.
We? I was gonna say, did we hear that one from you before?
No, we haven't talked about that
all right,
yet.
Angels under. So okay, Dodgers under. We've heard from you just because it's such a gaudy number. Padres under, you've made the case here on the show. What's the Angels under about?
They're just not a good organization. Like, I don't buy UC Kikuchi as your marquee offseason signing. Like, congratulations, you're trying. You're not trying hard enough. Like, I just first thing I do when I start looking at win totals is I circle the bad organizations. And I look at what their numbers are to make the playoffs, miss the playoffs, their win totals. I've mentioned this before. A lot of times people are always focused on the head of the pack, the best teams. But like, you know, you're a cheetah in, you know, you're tracking down prey. You go for the slowest gazelle, not the fastest. So I'm always trying to pick off the stragglers first before I decide who's going to win the World Series. I try to figure out, well, who are all the worst teams? You know, what are they projected to do? And, you know, let's see where we can find the value there. Like, for example, the Rockies are at 60, which, again, the Rockies aren't a good team, but they are an average team, at least at home. So 60 wins isn't asking a lot out of a professional baseball team. Like, guys don't go out there and try to lose every day. 60 wins, like, I could take the over on that with the Rockies.
Could or have?
I have. I didn't do it here. Like I said, I like to do a lot of this on credit when I can, at least to start.
Well,
but over 60, great number. I mean, like, you walk backwards into 60 wins unless you're the White Sox, I guess.
And remind folks what the White Sox unbelievably anemic season win total number 52 is?
52.5.
Oh, didn't we have it at the high 40s when it first came out, I thought, somewhere?
It might have moved. I have opening numbers here.
But that's what you're talking about. It's so low that even the worst outfit, right? Even the worst baseball teams, usually, not always.
I don't
always
want to touch the White Sox. I don't mind betting the Rockies over 60. But the White Sox, just as a team, like when you look at that roster,
you're not doing it.
You don't have to bet every win total, and that's one I'm going to pass on. The Braves was the other one I mentioned, under 92.
We actually, by the way, and I won't name names, but one of our listeners happens to be in the White Sox organization.
Yeah.
And on the down low, he sort of like lets us know that things are grim.
Things are grim, and that's the thing, is especially like the Marlins are another team. Like, you could just like you could read some of the comments, like the new manager who's from the Dodgers, he was saying every day is a day to improve. That's how they're going into the season. That's not a winning strategy. You know, that's not a team that's I'm not saying they're not trying to win, but that's not a team that's committed to winning. And then you look at there to make the playoff odds again. You know, I was saying the Dodgers to make the playoffs are -700. The Marlins are -1,000 to miss the playoffs. No, excuse me, they're -10,000 to miss the playoffs. They're 25-1 to make the playoffs, -10,000 to miss the playoffs. I've never seen a number that big, except the White Sox. The White Sox are -27,000. So, you know, they're saying don't even show up to spring training, apparently.
-27,000. It's very specific.
Yeah, 27,500, actually. Oh, so you got to lay the extra five.
Yeah. So how many season win totals total is that? That's...
Or five so far.
Dodgers under, Padres under, Angels over, Rockies over. What was the fifth?
Let's see. Sorry, I got it right here. Got it right here somewhere. We got Padres under, Angels under, Dodgers under, Rockies over, Braves under. Braves under.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought till after the break. More baseball and random betting thoughts from Jason Weingarten. Under a cloud of smoke, but in studio, right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino. Downtown Las Vegas, it's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is behind the glass because Jason Weingarten is in his chair at Spreadopedia on Twitter. Always thrilled to have Jason in. The few times that we have been able to through the years. Before we get back to Jason, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Want to read some of these from y'all. This is Rich PSM. Rich, I appreciate this tweet. Rich says, so can we please bury the hate myself for betting against reason in any sport, especially on this show founded on math? I mean, remember the 2001 Diamondbacks beating Mariano and the great Yankees? Here I said the Bucks already killed these legends. Not sure I understand that last part. But Rich, I appreciate the sentiment, which is we do everything by data and math, typically betting-wise. But yes, this was one of these Super Bowls, or not one of these Super Bowls, but this is one of these betting events where it was more of a the fear of self-loathing bet than it was anything else. So I totally appreciate the sentiment. Drew from Boise. Gil, have a great vacation. Enjoy and relax. Talking baseball and the Giants when you return? Yes, we will absolutely talk baseball, that's for sure. See you at the West Coast Conference tourney? Yes, Drew from Boise, a tradition unlike any other. I will be at the Orleans for the West Coast Conference tournament when the college basketball conference tournaments begin here in Vegas and beyond. And this is from, I love this tweet, Jason. You're going to appreciate this one. One more before that. Mario Romero, who says, high of the game was Hurts' first touchdown, 5-1, so I was sitting in a decent spot until Mahomes hit that 50-yard touchdown to go over his passing yards at garbage time. Gotta love betting. LOL. This is the one I wanted to talk about. D-Gen Southern Gent. Gil, I don't recall ever wanting to turn off a numbers game, but hearing Jason say the Dodgers are going to get Arenado almost almost triggered that. I have never hated a professional sports organization as much as I hate the Dodgers. See, well, I think a lot of people feel that way.
He's not like in his prime anymore. He has a huge contract. I don't really see what the deal is.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what happens. He'll put on a Dodgers uniform and all of a sudden he'll hit 30 again.
Probably. I hope so.
Frank Alexander. Hey, Gil, listening to you bring up the Roxy game day hack and had the pleasure to run into him at the Westgate last Wednesday as I was shopping props. He was looking at regular season win total baseball totals. He was kind enough to lend me his ear for 10 minutes and share wisdom. Roxy is not only the best dressed man in any sports book, but also the kindest and the greatest gentleman there is. Yeah, you take the approach with the Dodgers, and let's just be clear. Jason is not a Dodgers fan, ladies and gentlemen. He has made that clear.
I went 2 games last year.
Okay.
And a World Series game.
You have no issue. We've already stated this before. You have no issue with the fact that they can accumulate as much talent. They just pay the luxury tax, and that's that. The Braves, you said. Under on the Braves?
Under on the Braves.
Why?
Everybody coming back's a year older. Got Chris Sale, who was great last year. Couldn't finish the season. Cost me a lot of money. They were one game away from not making the playoffs. Anyways, had to come down to that. Remember? I mean, that was a crazy last day of the season. Doubleheader.
Oh, my God.
Win, lose. What's going to happen?
How great was that?
Came down to the last day of the season last year. This year, they've already said Spencer Strider's not starting the season with them. Ronald Acuna's not starting the season with them. And coming off an ACL injury like that, you don't come back 100% day one. A lot of times it takes you a while to get your timing, get your power back. So expecting MVP Ronald Acuna back on day one is a lot. I just think it's a very high number for the Braves, especially in a division with the Mets and the Phillies, you know, who are going to take a lot of wins. I could see them going under 92 wins. I could also see them missing the playoffs. They're 205 plus 205 to miss the playoffs here at Circa. I think that's a good number. They came down, like I said, the last game of the season last season. Wouldn't surprise me to see them kind of, you know, die out down the stretch this year.
Okay. So 5 season win total plays from Jason. Have you bet? I mean, are these even out?
These are all out. They're all down.
No, I know those are out. Are any of the awards out?
I've seen Cy Young. I've seen MVP. I saw Rookie of the Year at Caesars. I have not bet any of those yet. My first look through the markets, there was like nothing. I was like, oh, I got to run out and bet that number right now. This was the end of January they first showed up. But yeah, I looked through the numbers. There's very little that I'm like dying MVP-wise or Cy Young-wise to really get down on early. I'm probably guessing first, second week of spring training, which is right around the corner. I mean, pitchers and catchers are reporting right now.
Oh, you just triggered it for me because you said Cy Young. Skeens, obviously, a short shot.
He's going to be the favorite.
You have a Pirates thought on a playoff make miss?
Yeah, it's a big number, but I see the Pirates are minus 510 here at Circa to miss the playoffs. I think that number is way low. They were, the last place team in the NL Central last year. They didn't sign a free agent, and I guess unless you expect Paul Skeens to pitch 9 innings twice a week, I don't see.
Would you lay minus 510 on it?
I would on credit.
Yeah.
Would I do it right now on my way out of town?
No.
Not likely. No. I'd rather have that money.
Yeah.
Credit for spring training.
Credit's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but would I lay it if I have it available to me on credit? Absolutely.
Okay, football, obviously, with the Super Bowl now in the rear view. How do you often gravitate towards football futures at this point, or do you wait on those?
No, I mean, the draft is kind of the next thing, although draft betting has kind of taken over in its own.
It ain't the lock it used to be.
It's not the just show up and bet money and win money thing that it used to be. Now there's a million people giving out plays and telling you what's going on, and it's a more competitive market. But as far as NFL futures, unless you have something that like you really like, a team you really think's bouncing back next year, it's baseball season for me. It's time to change attempts and completions and rushing yards to ERAs and strikeouts and home runs.
I love it.
It takes a week or two to in your head, the terminology. Like, I'm still thinking, you know, touchdowns, and I got to start thinking home runs.
But
so.
I do appreciate – here's the thing. What's the Deion Sanders? When Deion Sanders used to play both football and baseball simultaneously, he had the famous line that I mentioned before, it harkens back to the old anti-drug campaign on TV, which was, he used to say, baseball is my brain, football is my brain on crack. And that's how I feel like it when it comes to handicapping the two sports also. And baseball, I know younger generations don't like it, but man, these seasons have been awesome lately. Like the most recent seasons, you mentioned the close to the regular season last year. Let's review all of Jason's bet. These are all of the bets on every show, every host, every guest, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSIN. Jason with a slew for us. Here are all his season win totals. Once again from Jason, Padres under 85.5 wins. The Dodgers, as good as he thinks they will be and as good as they are projected to be, 104.5 wins is a lot. Jason's got the under on that as well. He thinks the Angels organization is crappy. Under 71 yeah. and a half wins. My words. Rockies over 60 wins. As bad as that organization is, you still think 60 is too low.
They and also, they're just a slightly better than average home team. They have, you know, they play well at home at altitude. They walk backwards into 60 wins. Rockies, come on.
They're supposed to tailor that roster to that ballpark, and to that extent they have. Braves, the fifth one, under 92.5 wins for all the reasons he just gave. GBank upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for a new GBank Visa Signature Card. If you're a new GBank Visa Signature Card customer, that is. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. They did the math for us. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. We didn't mention this, but you were here in town, obviously, and you remain in town. You're flying out today as well. The last thing, and this is more like a Bill Krakenberger segment with me, but Vegas was as anemic in terms of it being populated for a Super Bowl than I ever remember it. And I don't know if it was because the Super Bowl was here last year, and those that were more likely to come to Vegas this year sort of had that experience. And even to watch it here in Vegas, they were like, yeah, that was kind of expensive. I'm not doing that again. But I know one unnamed, I will not name, I know one casino executive that I know who said it's as if we kept raising prices until they said uncle. And it finally happened. Was that your impression?
Very expensive to come to Vegas, even for a weekend now. I've been coming here, I don't even know how many years, since 2006 regularly, I'd say. Prices have gone up on everything. It was relatively cheap to get a room here this weekend, which I thought was surprising.
Yeah.
But in general, food, you know, you want to go down and get a bottle of water. Like, it very much has become a nickel and dime sort of thing where you're just, you know, 20 bucks here, 20 bucks here, 50 bucks there. It's just, it adds up. And you know, it's fun. I love Vegas, but it's definitely not a budget friendly town anymore.
Well, glad you came by yesterday. Thanks for coming in studio today.
Thanks for having me. A lot of fun. I always love being here.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia on the old Twitter machine. Stearns with a win for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. And Svitolina right now, 2 points away. Come on, get there. I'm on vacation. Joe Serralo next for the rest of the week with Kelly. Enjoy Stormy next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.